You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
The tweet came in at 12:33 p.m. last Saturday. At Real Donald Trump is bringing auto plants and jobs back to Michigan. At Justin Amash is a big liability. Hashtag Trump train, defeat him in primary. Justin Amash is, of course, the congressman from the 3rd District in West Michigan. And the tweet? It came from Dan Scavino, Jr., a senior advisor to President Donald Trump. Instantly, critics pounced, accusing Scavino of violating the Hatch Act, a vintage law dating back to the Depression. Some called for him to be fired. Let's dig into this and learn about the Hatch Act. Stephen Vladeck is with us, a law professor at the University of Texas. He's also a Supreme Court analyst for CNN. Stephen, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What is the Hatch Act?
So the Hatch Act is actually a pretty old statute. As you say, it dates back to the Depression. It was enacted in 1939, although it actually replaced an executive order that had been first put out in 1907. And it's basically a law that prohibits federal government employees from actively engaging in what the statute calls political activities, basically in taking public positions on who should run for office, on who should win elections, on other matters of sort of partisan political preferences. It's designed basically to ensure that lower-level government employees don't feel pressured by their superiors to engage in partisan political activity and to avoid the appearance of corruption. That is to say that government employees might be using their offices to advance other people's political and partisan ends.
And this law covers, what, all civilian executive branch employees except for?
Except for the president and the vice president. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with the president of the United States getting on a plane and going and campaigning on behalf of, say, you know, the next potential nominee in his party. The problem is that when you have senior White House employees actively taking to Twitter to either support or oppose current members of Congress and to literally say, you know, vote for somebody else, that seems to be exactly what the Hatch Act is worried about.
When you saw that tweet, Steve, did you think that violated the Hatch Act?
I did. I mean, I will say, you know, I think it's hard to keep score and to keep track of all of the ways in which communications from this White House are running afoul of either the Hatch Act or other various federal, you know, statutory disclosure rules. But it's especially important for someone in Mr. Scavino's position. I mean, part of his job is public relations and communications. Those are the very people who should know exactly where the line is between what federal employees are allowed to say about future elections and about current members of Congress, and what they're not allowed to say, at least in their official capacity.
Indeed, I believe he's director of social media for the president and for the White House. So he's in his bailiwick.
One would think. I mean, now there are, I should be clear, I mean, there are some exceptions in the Hatch Act. I mean, there are some, you know, special rules that allow, for example, folks to support their bosses if their bosses are engaging in lawful activity. So if I'm an assistant to a senior executive branch official who's allowed to make some kind of statement or some kind of communication and I go with him, I'm covered because I'm on duty. The problem here is that the entire substance of the communication in this case seems to be a politically motivated attack on a sitting member of Congress and an encouragement for someone to run against him, presumably in the 2018 primary. That's the exact kind of activity by the exact kind of person that the Hatch Act was always intended to prohibit.
So let's say Dan Scavino Jr. wants to express his displeasure with Congressman Amash. Could he have done that without this Hatch Act mess?
Yeah, I mean, there are ways to do it. So the Hatch Act does distinguish between things you're doing as part of your day job and things you do in your private capacity. This is why, for example, a lot of government employees have both professional and private email accounts. The rules are different as to those. You know, if Dan Scavino had a private Twitter account where it was clear that he was not tweeting in his capacity as the director of social media for the White House, and in that capacity, and let's just say after hours to make it even clearer, he said, listen, just on my own, not speaking in any official capacity, you know, this is how I feel about Justin Amash, that would be a much harder case. I mean, I think you'd still have folks complaining. But man, what he actually did is so much closer to the heart of the statute that, you know, I think that hard case is not this one.
Is there some question whether he was doing it officially or from his own private account?
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is with social media, right? When you have a social media profile that identifies you as, you know, the director of social media for the White House, not clear where the line is between public and private. And this is part of why the, you know, internal executive branch agency responsible for Hatch Act compliance, it's called the Office of the Special Counsel, has actually put out specific guidance two executive branch employees about social media, where they've basically said, listen, you have to be extra careful in this context where folks could very well confuse private capacity statements with official capacity statements. Certainly looks like the tweet from Scavino comes pretty close to the official side of that line.
Stephen, what's the big picture here? Why is it we should care about whether one White House aide broke an old law?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good question. And the reality is the fact that one White House aide, you know, may have broken this old law, which, by the way, isn't even a criminal statute. I mean, the principal remedies for violations of the Hatch Act are some kind of administrative discipline. I think the larger point is the larger pattern that we're seeing, especially in this White House, of either, you know, negligent or reckless or intentional disregard for a whole bunch of federal ethics and conflict of interest rules that are designed to keep people basically within their lines. They're designed to avoid the appearance of partiality. They're designed to avoid the notion that actions are being taken not for policy reasons but for purely political reasons. You know, these statutes exist for a reason, and the more that we see instances where it looks like different White House employees are crossing these lines, you know, the more I think everyone, Democratic, Republican, whatever, should be worried about the compliance here and should be worried about the implications of a White House that seems just so carefree about these ethical rules.
Stephen Vladeck is a law professor at the University of Texas. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you.